Father, we give you the praise. Father, we give you the honor. Father, we give you the adoration. Be glorified, be honored, and be praised. Breathe upon this service tonight, and let not one person leave here the same way they have come. In Jesus' precious name. Amen. Give the Lord a praise as you take your seat in the presence of the Lord. Everybody excited to be here tonight, say loud amen. And everyone who believes you are not living here the same way you have come, say a loud most amen. Very, very quickly and very, very sharply, we'll do some praying tonight, but before then, we're looking at the secrets of the life of God. Secrets of the life of God. The Bible said in John chapter 3 and in verse 16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. So far we have examined the life of God, and our objective actually today is to understand what it takes to function with the life of God. Starting from two Sundays back, we began to examine the life of God. It was made clear to us from Scripture, clearly established, that God made man in his image and likeness. Genesis chapter 1, verse 26 and verse 27. And God said, let us make man in our image and our likeness. Verse 27. So God created man in his own image and likeness. Let us make man in our image and likeness. God created man in his image and likeness. We also saw that man is a carrier of the breath of God. The carrier of the breath and life of God. That we saw in Genesis chapter 2 and in verse 7. So God breathed into, and the Lord God formed man of the dust of the earth, of the ground, and breathe into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. Job chapter 33 and in verse 4 also shows us. He said, the Spirit of God has made me, and the breath of the Almighty has given me life. So we have the breath of God, we have the life of God inside us from creation. Now, but man lost the life of God. That's a tough thing to note. Man lost the life of God through sin and disobedience. In Genesis chapter 2, verse 16 and 17. Genesis 2, 16 and 17. And the Lord, God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. Did man eat it? Yes. Genesis chapter 3. And in verse 6, 7, 8, man ate it. When the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes,
and a tree to be desired to make one wise. She took of the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. They ate the fruit and they knew that they were naked. What happened? At least two things happened. One, that's 3a now. When that happened, the glory of God that covered them lifted. Romans chapter 3 verse 23. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God and became deficient of the glory of God. When they sinned, the glory lifted. Secondly, when they sinned, death entered. Romans chapter 6 verse 23. He said the wages of sin is death. So even though man was still living physically, he had spiritually died. The life of God was gone. Am I communicating at all? The question then is, how do we recover that life of God? We are talking about the life, that life of God now. How do we recover it? I'm going to look at four or five ways in which we recover back the life of God that was lost. But the basic recovery of the life of God, number one, is by being born again. Being born again. John chapter 3 and in verse 16. John chapter 3 verse 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believed in him should not perish but have everlasting life. It is only the man, only the woman, only the person that is born again that has the life of God. John chapter 10 and in verse 10. He said the thief comes not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. Only that person that is born again that has the life of God. John chapter 1 and in verse 12. He said, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. He gave them power to become the carriers of the life of God. He gave them power to be carriers of the life of God. John chapter 14 and in verse 6. John 14 and in verse 6. He said, Jesus said unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by him. Life comes from Jesus. Somebody lift up your hands and say after me, say, Father, I receive life. I receive life today through Jesus. I receive life. I receive life today through Jesus. I receive life through Jesus. Somebody say loud amen. See, anybody you see. Now, listen to this. Take your seat. When a person is sentenced to death in America, in some places in America, either sentenced to the electric chair, that is going to sit on the electric chair and be electrocuted to death, or any form of capital punishment, that is going to the ultimate punishment to die. In between when he leaves the prison cell and the place of the execution, that walk he takes is called the walk of death. Right? Anybody who is not born again, who is not saved, who doesn't know Jesus, they are taking steps of death. It might be a fine man. He might be a handsome man. He might be a beautiful man. He might be a beautiful woman. He might be an educated man. He might be a professor. They are taking steps of death. Listen to this. And whenever that person is passing from that place to the execution place, they demanded silence as a final respect to his life. You know what they say? Dead man walking. Keep still. Dead man walking. He has not died yet, but he is definitely dying. Just in a short distance, under a few minutes, he is gone. It's a dead man that is walking. Professor that is not born again is dead professor walking. Entertainer that is not saved is dead entertainer walking. Billionaire that is not saved is dead billionaire walking. Church person, church goer that is not saved is dead church goer walking. Do you understand the meaning of that? So even though Adam was still alive, he was a dead man. Dead man living. The moment you eat the fruit, you have died. Even though his physical life was still there, spiritual life was gone. Am I communicating at all? So our introduction into the life of God is being born again, being saved, and living the saved life. When we come back by Sunday, I might say a few more things in regarding that, but it is living the saved life. Living, being born again. Being born again. We function in the life of God. What gives us access? One, being born again. Number two is walking in communion and fellowship with God. And I'd like you to understand that the things I am mentioning tonight, they are so important that the devil will do his best to keep you from doing them. He will do his best to keep people from getting saved, from getting born again, from accepting Jesus Christ into their lives. Accepting Jesus into their lives. Being born again, walking in fellowship with God. Look at what he said in John chapter 15 and in verse 15. John chapter 15 verse 5. John 15 5. He said, I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. Abide in me so I can abide in you. Live in me, then I will live in you. Commune with me, I connect with you. Am I communicating? So, in our communion with God is our connection with his life. I am the vine, you are the branches. Our communion with him, our prayers, our worship, our communication, spending time in his presence is our connection to his life. Psalm 17 verse 15, which is the twin scripture of 2 Corinthians 3 and in verse 18. The two of them are twins. Most scriptures have a twin. It says, search the scriptures. Look ye out of the book of the law and read it. None shall want his mate. Alright? None of the scriptures want their mate. That's why the Bible says, in the mouth of two or three witnesses, every word shall be confirmed. And so he said in Psalm, the first twin said, as for me, I will behold thy face in righteousness. I shall be satisfied when I awake with thy likeness. When I behold his face, I awake like him. What you look at affects what you look like. That was what happened to the animals of Laban that Jacob placed the wood in front. As for me, I will behold your face
in righteousness I shall be satisfied when I awake with thy likeness. When we continue to behold him, when we continue to stay around him, when we continue to hang around him, when we continue to spend time with him, in a short while, we begin to look like him. Begin to look like him effortlessly. Effortlessly. Many, many times, somebody will speak with my wife and then come to speak with me, and then the person will say, this was the exact response I got. This was exactly what, almost word for word at times. It wasn't like that when we started. Right? My wife could smile, but not too much of laugh. Right? When you said something that should make somebody laugh very well. If you say something to make me laugh, I will laugh. She will do. You are waiting for the laughter to start. It has ended. But she will smile. You can be smiling permanently. Without provocation. But laughter was highly summarized. So what is this? Alright? But a time came now when she can now begin to laugh a little bit. Do you understand what I'm saying? Because you hang around. You stay around with each other. You begin to crack jokes alike. You begin to talk alike. You begin to look alike. You begin to think alike. That is what happens to you in the company of God. The time comes when you hang around God for a while. When the devil sees you coming, he thought he saw God. And that is very, very easy to understand, because I've told you many, many times the mystery of the nail and the magnet. The 9-inch nail. You place that 9-inch nail beside the magnet, the magnet will magnetize the nail. It magnetizes the nail. And if you leave the nail with the magnet for a long time, and you come and remove the nail from the magnet, and you bring an office pin close to the nail, the office pin will begin to be attracted to the nail. It's magnetizing the nail. What happened to the nail? The nail remained in the magnetic field of a magnet for a long time until it became magnetic. Himself became a magnet. Himself has become a magnet that is now magnetizing smaller things like office pin, like needle, because it hung around the nail. So when you hang around God, no wonder when Moses stayed with God on the mountain for 40 days and 40 nights, when Moses came down, they couldn't look at his face anymore. His face was like a sun, because the glory he was around with entered his body, saturated his face, and they couldn't look at his face. The same way you cannot look at the face of God. God told Moses, no man can see my face and live. The same way people couldn't see the face of Moses, because he had stayed with God for a long time. Am I communicating? That is why the devil wants to keep you busy, so you don't have time with God. So you don't have time for prayer. So you don't have time for worship. So you can remain normal and natural. Take your seat. Am I communicating at all? He wants to keep you very, very busy. Things that make you to be legitimately busy. Legitimately busy. You have every right to be occupied. And you can justify your busyness and occupation and legitimacy. And the devil is happy, because he wanted to render you normal. Render you ordinary. Render you usual. Render you natural. So that there is nothing supernatural about you. There is nothing extraordinary about you. There is nothing divine about you. But it is iron that sharpeneth iron. If you want to be sharpened in your divine nature, you must hang around divinity. You must hang around your maker, so he can sharpen the divinity on the inside of you. Somebody shout, yes! Man, shout it. By the time we're about to step out of Brazil, the last town that we arrived,
Recife is the name of the town. It's meant to be a village there, but it's bigger than any town here. I wish you can show the skyscrapers in that place. It has more skyscrapers than any capital in Africa I have seen. Right? And we came and we're just... And a man, a policeman, just walked to us. And he said, I want to ask a question. This is not official. This is not... It's a friendly question. It's nothing. Can you tell me who you are, please? Okay, this is who we are. This is what we do. He said, you know what? You have somebody in Brazil in case you need anything. He said, I was meant to close office by 8 o'clock. 8 a.m. And this was 11:30. He said, I don't know what kept me here till now. He said, it's because of you. So I know anybody. I mean, I know people in judiciary. I know people here and there. I know whatever you need. Just understand that you have somebody in Brazil. That's the village. It's an outskirt village. By the Atlantic Ocean. By the time we thought the country has ended, this was what we met. Eh? These are countries. Our big people travel and they see this. We'll leave that for another day. Take your seat. But this is what I'm saying. Now, this man cannot explain what he sees in us. What kept him at the airport. He has been sending message every day. Do you want to come to this city for a program? He said, I have found a place, a location. He said, I will arrange security when you come. Anything you want, I will arrange when you come. Anything you want from anybody, I will arrange when you come. He has been in the service for 30 years. He was meant to have retired or something, but maybe he was waiting for us. Do you understand what I'm saying? What did he see? Divinity. He saw a climate he could not explain. He saw something different. He saw a people and he saw something. He saw something different. He saw something unusual. He could not explain. Beloved brothers and sisters, it is time for us to move. When New York City about to board the plane, my wife, myself, my children, we stand on the line. A white woman came, looked at us from wherever she came. She said, come, follow me. We're on a queue already, premium line. She said, follow me. She came, opened an opening, and said, pass here. The place where, whether it's pilots or whoever, just it said, pass here. Bye. While he was about to lead us, a white rich man, who was on first class line, said to her, what's going on? Where are you taking them to? She said to him, they are VIPs. We don't know her from anywhere. Wait, you have heard nothing yet. So the man said, we are VIPs too. That is why we are on this line. He said, they are very special VIPs. This is years ago. The man became angry, was about to throw a fit. The woman said, don't mind him. Come, let's go. She opened that kind of thing that they normally open here and went inside. By the time we started proceeding, I told my family, I said, wait a bit. What brought us here is not money. What opened that door is not money. What opened that door is not skin color. What opened that door is the presence of God. There is something we carry that she saw. And I want to tell all of you, family, that is the highest thing to go for. Go for the presence of God.
Go for the aura of God. Go for the divine nature and the divine climate. And that divine nature and divine climate is still here till tomorrow. Are you hearing what I'm saying here today? Go ahead and give the Lord a shout of victory. A louder shout of victory. A louder shout of victory. Lift your voice and say, Father, I receive the grace for communion. I receive the grace for fellowship. I receive the grace to be in your company. I receive that grace, oh Lord, in the name of Jesus.
Take your seat. So you can understand now why the enemy tries his best to make you busy. No time for prayer. No time for study. No time for worship. While we're in Argentina driving, I was playing very, very deep worship. The song that will be coming out this, the album that will be coming out this Thursday. This Friday, Thursday night to Friday. From one to another, bomb and bomb and bomb. The person driving said, I want to stop driving. He said, I can't continue driving with this kind of climate. He said, it's too much. He said, this one to make me stop driving. Let's finish it first before going forward. That is the kind of climate that saturates you with the divine nature. One day we're going to do a radio interview somewhere, maybe 20 something years ago. One of our pastors, who is now the regional pastor of the Northeast, is in just headquarters. He was inside the vehicle with me. We moved a bit. He said, sir, I now know your secret. I said, what is it? He said, this car is just saturated with presence. He said, this car is saturated with presence. Because it was a worship climate and a climate of his presence. Are you hearing what I'm saying here today? First of all, we must be born again. Number two, we must walk in communion and in fellowship with God. It releases that life. That life we identified on Sunday, the other Sunday, that releases us spirituality, releases us supernaturality, that releases us vitality, that releases us liberty. And then by last Sunday we saw durability. That life of God is triggered by being born again, walking in communion and fellowship with God. Number three, living in the Word of God. The Word of God. Again, the devil makes us so busy for the Word. Because the Word of God carries the life of God. John chapter 6 and in verse 63. John 6, 63. He said, it is the Spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. It is the Spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak to you, they carry my spirit and they carry my life. In Philippians chapter 2 and in verse 16, the Bible is referred to as the Word of life. It says, holding forth the Word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. The Word of God is the Word of life. In 1 John chapter 1 and in verse 1, 1 John chapter 1 and in verse 1, he said, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled, of the Word of life, of the Word of life, of the Word of life. The Word of God is the Word of life. Of course, you know, Matthew chapter 4 and in verse 4, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God. So the Word of God carries the life of God that makes us to live. And of course, Luke chapter 4 and in verse 4 also makes it clear that the Word of God is the Word of life. The Word of God is pregnant with the life of God. Is pregnant with the life of God. Is pregnant with the life of God. John chapter 10 and in verse 34. John chapter 10 and in verse 34 to verse 36. He said, Jesus answered them, is it not written in your law, I said, ye are gods. If he called them gods, unto whom the word of God came, and the scriptures cannot be broken. He called them gods, unto whom the word of God came, and the scriptures cannot be broken. Verse 36, he said, do you say of him whom the Father has sanctified and sent into the world, thou blasphemest? Because I said, I am the Son of God. He called them gods, unto whom the word of God came. What's the meaning? The arrival of the word of God is the elevation of the status of man. The arrival of the word of God is the elevation of the status of man unto the divine nature. Is the elevation of the status of man. He called them gods unto whom the word of God came. So there is something that happens in you when the word of God comes to you. It changes your status. Even if it is for a moment, even if it is for that moment when you receive that injection of the word. I give you two testimonies of what happened some time ago. You know, healing and deliverance service has been on for a long time. And the healing and deliverance service began because people were coming for counseling in their numbers. And you finish with this person, you finish, and then another person, and the line was getting too much. So we said, you know what? Everybody who needs the counseling, come together. And they all came together, and we'll preach at once, and then pray healing and deliverance, and so on. One day, I was coming for healing and deliverance. And before I came into the healing and deliverance service, I looked at Acts chapter 5, verse 13, 14, 15. When Peter, and of the rest, that no man joined himself to them, but the people magnified them. And believers were the more added to the Lord, multitudes both of men and women, in so much that they brought forth the sick into the streets, and laid them on beds and couches, and at the least, so that at the least the shadow of Peter passing by might overshadow some of them. And there came also a multitude out of the cities round about unto Jerusalem, bringing sick folks and them which were vexed with unclean spirits. And they were healed, everyone. Wow. I read that before stepping into the service. And I said, I don't have any reason why I should struggle for anybody to be healed. When a man's shadow, he just walked by and people got healed. The blind started seeing. The lame were walking. Cancers disappeared. Why should I struggle? I don't need this. The one who sent him is the one who sent me. The one who anointed him is the one who anointed me. The one who called him is the one who called me. Oh no. All right. So that's the end. So I stepped into the healing service that morning, Area One Church. And then I stood up from the altar with that light. And you know light is reflective. You know the distance between where I sit and when you arrive at the altar. And I stepped to the altar and I just made an announcement. I said, just now, as I walked from this place to come to the altar here, people have been healed. Check yourself and confirm your healing. If you are healed, come out. Now, they began to troop out a mass. So I said, no, wait a minute. I am not asking for people who need to be healed to come out. I didn't say come out for prayer. I said you are already healed. When I say that, they move out the more. Wow. Really? You were there in that service. So the place was jammed with people. Jammed all the way. What happened to you? Lump disappeared. What happened to you? My eyes can see now. All manner. At that instance when I saw that light, there was an injection of the divine nature. There was an injection of divinity. And that injection got expression and produced instant result. What God wants is for you to be hooked on that injection. Are you hearing what I'm saying here? It's for you, like they say, the youth will say today, on a daily, be hooked on such an injection of divinity. Let fresh, every
every fresh revelation is a fresh release of divine life. Everything you saw afresh releases into you a divine life whose manifestation you will see in the course of your day, the course of your week, or the course of your life. You will see it definitely. I'll give you a second example. I set my alarm for a few minutes of preaching, and the alarm is calling me now. Alarm, you know what? I have not finished. Let me stop you. You hear? One of our children, many, many years ago, wanted to eat moi moi. Was eating moi moi. The moi moi was so sweet. And the child didn't know what to do. Just kept eating. Eating. He's full, but the moi moi is too sweet. Ate. Came to the point, he said, moi moi, moi moi. I don't care, you hear? That is what this alarm clock want to do to me. Alarm clock, alarm clock. I'm not okay, you hear? Praise the Lord. So, I won't mention the name of the child. He called the moi moi like two or three times. Moi moi, moi moi. I'm okay, you hear? Not I am okay, I'm okay, I'm okay. Hallelujah. Alarm clock, alarm clock. I'm not okay. Let me finish this one. So I read Luke chapter 10. I believe it was in verse 16. I was reading and meditating. It said, he that heareth me, he that heareth you, heareth me. And he that despiseth you, despiseth me. And he that despiseth me, despiseth him that sent me. When I read that passage, this was what I heard. As I was meditating. Any devil that will hear me will hear you. Ele. Eleo. I then heard again. Any devil that cannot say no to me cannot say no to you. Any devil that cannot despise me cannot despise you. Then the final one is, my voice is inside your voice. He that heareth me heareth you. At times you think you are the one talking, but I'm talking through your mouth. Hele! Hey! I was boiling with that light. Stood up out of the office, and I was going, when too unfortunate for the devil, they brought a mad man, mad young boy, chained with four chains, chained and then padlock, 4, 1, 2, 3, 4. About four people, including the mother, were trying to hold him. They couldn't hold him. It was inside the church. I was walking. Our pastor, who is in Lagos now, Pastor Obeya, was behind me. About 20 something years ago, and I was walking along with two other pastors, and the mother was standing by the child crying, he's my only son and he's mad. And then I just remembered, the devil that cannot say no to you, to me, cannot say no to you. Any devil that will hear me will hear you. Any devil that cannot say no to me cannot say no to you. Any devil that cannot despise me cannot despise you. My voice is inside your voice. That is, if you mind, that is Luke 10:16. So with that fire that already injected a divine nature, I shouted, leave him. With the chain they were holding him. They look at each other like, leave who?
And I think they must have concluded, well, you are here, we are all here, so if he attacks everybody, you too, you are here. So they left him. His hand was bleeding.
Next command, loose him. I am conscious that when I said leave him, the devil heard Jesus in my voice. When I say loose him, the devil heard Jesus in my voice.
So they loose chain number one, number two, number three, number four, unwound. It was bleeding. I looked at a young man, I said, sorry. He said, thank you, sir.
That is a mad person that nobody could hold.
He said, thank you, sir.
I said, kneel down. He went on his knees. Lift up your hands. Say, Jesus, Jesus, come into my life, come into my life. Forgive me my sins. I surrender my life to you. I surrender my life to you. I am not mad. I am not mad. I cannot be mad. I cannot be mad. I'm talking and I'm asking him to repeat after me. So I say, in the name of Jesus, you are free. Madness to hell, you are free. Stand. Mother, have your child. The whole operation was not up to 5 minutes. Somebody say operation. And I walked and started going.
Carry your child and go. He walked and followed his mother like a gentleman. No more, nothing. Our pastor said, excuse me, sir. Excuse me, sir. What just happened? What just happened? You didn't even pray. You say you didn't pray. You say leave him. Then you say lose him. You didn't pray. He obeyed everything. And you just handed him to his mother just like that.
Then I shared with him that scripture.
That I saw this one before the devil came. The devil came too late. So I just received an injection. I was injected with divinity. So I gave expression to the injection I just received. Am I communicating at all? That is what the devil... I need a printout of this for myself. This one for myself. I want to stick it somewhere. Are you hearing what I'm saying here today? I just saw something and that devil came too late. Beloved brothers and sisters, I want to push you. Keep on, just move into the word. And while you are studying the word, ask the Lord, what are you saying to me? What is this scripture saying? What are you saying to me? What do you want me to hear from this? And you will hear the voice that is inside the verse. Luke 10:16. He that heareth you heareth me. He that despiseth you. That is the verse. The next one that I just said, that is the voice in the verse. Any devil that will hear me will hear you. Any devil that cannot say no to me cannot say no to you. Any devil that cannot despise me cannot despise you. My voice is inside your voice. Are you hearing what I'm saying here today? My voice is in your voice. That is what the revelation of the word. It just injects you with the nature of God and you manifest that nature effortlessly. I prophesy, I speak to somebody here today. In the name of Jesus, proceed and walk in the nature and character of God. You believe, say aloud, amen. You believe, say aloud, amen. You believe, say the loudest, amen. You believe, shout the Lord most, amen. Look at your neighbor, say, go ahead and walk in the nature of God. Receive the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of God. May your eyes be open to see what God is saying in his word. Take your seat. You see, nobody has ever been too busy to eat food, too busy to drink coke and guguru and agidi and all the arrangements, but too busy for the word. Listen, the food you eat supplies you natural life. The word you eat supplies you divine life. It's a matter of choice. He didn't say you shouldn't eat food. That's why I say, man shall not live by bread alone. You live by bread, but the life is the natural life. The word that proceeds from the mouth of God is divine life. You need both a natural life, that is to move around in the natural, and you need the divine life to deal with the forces of the spirit. I have two more to say, but I'll continue probably on Sunday. Let me say one more. What is it that makes us to function with the life of God? Number one, being born again. Number two, walking in communion and fellowship with God. Number three, living in the word of God. Number four, walking in love. 1 John chapter 4 verse 8. 1 John chapter 4 verse 8. The Bible said, he that loveth not, knoweth not God. For God is love. God is love. So look at Genesis chapter 1 verse 1. In the beginning, love created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form and void. Darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the spirit of love moved upon the face of the waters. And love said, let there be light. And there was light. Now look at verse 26. Let this revolutionize your mind. And love said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness. Verse 27. So love created man in his own image. In the image of love created him. Male and female created them. Love said, let us make man to look like us. So the question to ask yourself is, do you look like love? Or you look like hate? What do you look like? When people encounter you, what do they experience? Love? Hate? Bitterness? Jealousy? Strife? Competitive tendencies? Unforgiveness? It affects how much of God you can manifest. I don't need to preach anything more than this. What does your wife or husband experience from you? Ask my own, she will tell you. What does your children, what do they experience from you? The people who come close, what do they experience? One child came to my office with her mother and her siblings. Not small babies, so 15, 18, that kind of age. By the time I finished with them, how are you? I have some chocolate or something. Do you need some? By the time I finished with them, one of the children said he didn't talk for like 2 or 3 days. Then when she broke the silence at home, he said, Mommy, why is our father not like that? Why? He may not be a hateful or a bitter person, but why is our father not like that? That testimony that was shared, child calling me from university, my father's business is not moving. Everything is dry. Can you help me pray for them? When I hear that, for me, I haven't just heard a prayer request. I have heard the need for action. He said, as much as it lieth in you, do good to all men, especially those of the household of faith. So when I say, tell your mother to see me, I wasn't asking the mother to, it wasn't prayer she was coming for. She was coming to receive money to send to them first while we are praying. Only for her to come and say, the prayer has already been answered. This sales of hundreds of thousands today, I say amen, is going to continue. But I already made up my mind to give you money to send to them. So this is the money. This is not peculiar to just them. Many people have come, and my secretary said, my PA said, somebody is waiting, and the person said they sent you a text message, and you said they should come. I said, I don't know the person. I've never met the person in my life. I don't know. All I know is that the person sent a message about suicide or sent a message of this or that. And I said, let that person be rescued on the spot. I am seeing the person for the first time. Do you understand? So we have thousands of messages. We may not be able to respond to everyone. But once the ones that you come across, and many people send Father's Day messages, and the Lord bless you all. Many people send birthday messages. Even people that we know, I wasn't able to open all of them because they are, I don't know their number. But the ones you are able to open, and you see a very desperate need, you respond on the spot or send for it. Am I communicating at all? And it is practical. So I don't want anybody to think like, oh, it is unique to some people, or how do they get to get their number, or how do they get to get the response. Strangers that we have not known have received response. This man called me by what time did you call me the other day? 4 a.m. I saw a missed call. So then I think I called back or something. What's happening? Say, robbers are in the compound. We need intervention right now. Question number one. You did commanding the day midnight prayer. Why are you still awake by 4 a.m.? Response was instant. Divine intervention now. Let this demon, let this devil scatter. And he sent a message back in the morning. Thank you, sir. The prayer worked. God took control. God scattered them. Am I communicating? So this can come from anywhere. Just to let you know. And if we are able to get to know what the situation is, even situation like the children at school that were just, if we're able to get to know as it lieth in our power, to the extent we can do. But don't forget that love made man in his image. The more in love you walk, the more like God you look. The more in love. You don't need to pray separately to look like God if you walk in love. You don't need to pray separately. The man who came from India has not ceased sending me a message every day. You see, all his life he has never felt the kind of love he felt when he came here. He has been in ministry for 21 years. When I saw him, help him. I placed my life around him, patted him on the back. Say, what is this? When he gave his life to Christ, they attacked him. He was left to die 6 hours. God kept him alive. He has never known a thing like this all his life. What takes you to distant places on the earth? You went to Kogi State, Angpa. You can go to Okene. If you go to Okene, ask them when last anybody went there for crusade. And ask Angpa too. And you have the ability to fly to London and fly to New York. Anytime. What drives you to those places? Love for God, love for the people. And when we come, the people feel it. So they flock. They want a handshake. They want a touch. They feel it. When you don't want to go, they don't want you to go. I believe it was in Boko where they the people came after the crusade. The pastor told me, he said that the next day the people were crying. People were crying in the church. I said, they gathered and were. I said, what happened? He said, it was like a father who just, they just felt as if father just left or something. How they wish that you remained. Oh, other places are there. I'm sure Glory Dome will not agree. If, for example, Argentina say, sir, can you do 3 weeks here non-stop? Somebody say amen. Anything that is dragging you out of love is dragging you out of God. Including human beings that want to plant seeds of bitterness in your heart. Human beings that want to plant seeds of bitterness, seeds of enmity, seeds of strife. They want a fight. You don't want a fight. They want it by all means. Human beings that want to corrupt the purity of your charity. Human beings that want to drag your attention to things that will make you bitter. I want to put husband and wife against each other. Anything dragging you out of love is dragging you out of God. Even faith works by love. Was that Galatians chapter 5 verse 6? Faith which walk in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision availeth anything, but faith which worketh by love. Beloved, if you want that nature of God to manifest, go and just love and start loving. Start loving. There are fathers, when they are coming home, children are running. They are running. They are running away. Why? Lion has arrived. How do your children feel around you? Your household. One of the young men living in our house, sometime it was time for him to go to his own house. And then his little boy, they came to visit. He ran to me and said, I miss you. I carried him. I said, I miss you too. What do people feel around you? Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Read from verse 4. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. And in verse 4, he said, love, when you see charity is love, it suffers long, is kind, it does not envy, it's not arrogant, it's not puffed up, it does not behave itself unseemly, it's not struggling for its own, it's not easily provoked, it thinks no evil, it does not rejoice in iniquity, it rejoices in truth. Love bears all things, believeth all things. Hopeth all things. That looks like God. Endureth all things. And he said, keep going. Love faileth not. That is like God. God can't fail. Jesus never fails. Jesus never fails. The man of the world may let you down, but Jesus never fails. Love never fails. Never fails. Never fails. All I can say to you tonight is, beloved brothers and sisters, if you want that life of God in you, go ahead, ensure you are saved, ensure you walk in communion and fellowship with God, ensure you live in His word, ensure you walk in love. Everything that takes you out of love takes you out of God. It takes you out of possibilities. It takes you out of the divine nature. Ensure that you exercise your conscience all the time to be void of offense towards God and man. Forgive the people in advance. Face your life. Wish everybody well. Just wish people well. Whatever God wants for them, let them have it. Somebody becoming who God wants them to become does not stop you from becoming. Am I communicating? Anything God wants them to touch in life, let them touch it. Wherever God wants them to reach, let them reach there. Am I communicating? It doesn't stop you. It doesn't stop you. If you wish me well, no devil can wish you evil. Life is a seed. Whatsoever a man sows, that shall he reap. He said, whatsoever you wish that men should do unto you, do to them. For that is the law and the prophets. Stand up on your feet. That was Matthew chapter 7 and in verse 12. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Look at your neighbor. Say, wish me well. It doesn't stop you from becoming who you are meant to be. It only assists you. Wish me well. Just try and wish me well. I know he's already wishing you well. Husband is already wishing you well. Hallelujah. Somebody say amen. Somebody say louder amen. Somebody shout to believers amen. A louder believers amen. It is a new day. Can I wish you well? It is well with you. You know, we are doing that all the time. So people are wondering why things are happening good for us. Why you are in a foreign country and they order an ambassador to remain in the office until the passports are submitted for visa in another man's country. That is, the two countries are strange. You don't belong to the country where the embassy is. Ah. Why you sit here in the office and an ambassador comes to the office here and says, I came to process the visa for you here in your office. You say, well, I don't want you to pass through the hassle of coming to the office. And then everybody who is to travel with you all had the privilege. The pastor's office became the visa office. Do you understand what I'm talking about? Why? Because you are wishing people well. Generationally. Let me wish you well again. It is well with you. Anything Jehovah created you to touch, your hand shall touch it. Every devil and agent of hell who is against what God has ordained for your life, it can never be well with them. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Everyone who is here currently with any pain in your body, I declare that pain is caused to its roots. In the name of Jesus. You cannot be tired. You are so young to be tired. You can't be weak. You are too young to be weak. Every trace of weakness, every trace of tiredness in your life and in your body be caused to its roots. If you are saying amen, say louder amen. If you are saying amen, shout the Lord must amen. Lift up your two hands. Anybody who is truly blessed here, say amen. I want you to listen to this message again and you will help me give it to somebody to listen to. But lift up your hands and say, Father, I have heard your word and I thank you for speaking your word to me. In the name of Jesus, I come before you today and I surrender my life to you. I ask for forgiveness for my sins. Today is my decision to live for you. Help me to walk in communion with you, to walk in fellowship with you. Give me fresh appetite for your word. These prayers are very important. Help me to walk in communion with you. Give me the fresh appetite for your word. Deliver me from the life of unforgiveness, lovelessness, and strife. Are you ready? Let's start again. Say, Father, I come before you. I hand over my life to you. You are my God. You are my Lord. I receive the grace to live for you in the name of Jesus. Give me the grace to love your presence, to walk in communion, and to walk in fellowship with you, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Say, Father, I receive fresh passion, appetite, and hunger for your word, oh Lord, in the name of Jesus. And say, Father, I receive the grace to walk in love. I reject bitterness, unforgiveness, strife, lovelessness, in the name of Jesus. Lift your voice and speak to God. Speak to God.
only because of you. Because you bought me with your blood. I'm yours and yours alone. You're my life, my life, my all. Only because of you. Because you bought me with your blood. I'm yours and yours alone. You're the reason why I live. I'm up and I'm my bed. Every day I see new man. This from you, Lord. You're the reason why I live. I'm up and I'm my bed. Every day I see new man. This from you, Lord. You're the reason why I live. I'm up and I'm my bed. Every day I see new messages from you, Lord. You're the reason why I live. I'm up and I'm mad. Every day I see new messages from you, Lord.
Lift your hands everywhere you are. You are in need of forgiveness for your sins. You are in need of surrender. You want Jesus to be Lord over your life. Everywhere you are, pray this prayer with me and say after me, Lord Jesus, I am a sinner in need of your help. Come into my life and make me a new person. Today I have decided to follow you, Lord, and no turning back. Forward ever, backward never. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.